So how important is it that elders practice good listening skills? So Greg has been a Christian for 7 years, and his wife is not a Christian, but she attends with him, mostly just on Sunday mornings, and, well, rather sporadically. You don't know it, but last week something was said in a Bible class. The teacher is a good man and well-intentioned, but he said something that really cut this wife to the quick. I mean, it just offended her. And so she came home and she said to her husband, I'm going to tell you something. Not only am I not going back, if you love me, you're going to change churches. Do you hear? It's going to be me or that church. She's rather high strung, probably could use a nap. But anyway, she said this to him. So the following Sunday, Greg comes to Brother Brown, who is a good man, a faithful elder. And he begins to say, I've got this thing with my wife. And he's it was awkward for him, and he doesn't know how to handle it. He could use some counsel, want some advice. But the problem is that, what I say to the elder's name is Brother Brown. Brother Brown is distracted because, you see, they've just spent $8,000 on new carpet. And the kids, the ones who are assigned to pick up the communion cups after worship on the Lord's Day, and what he has discovered is that in two places, not just one, two places, grape juice has been spilled by children who are misbehaving. They're always so rambunctious. Why do they have to be so excited? How come they got to be so rambunctious? And they, brand new carpet. We're never going to be able to get that up. And besides that, you know what? If they keep running around like this, some old person is going to be falling down, and then we're going to be in big trouble. He's just stressed. He's really stressed about this. Now, I know that carpet has some importance, and kids behaving has importance. But the problem is, Greg is standing there, and he initiates this discussion. But Brother Brown's eyes are darting over here and over there as he looks for those children. And he never really hears what Greg is trying to say. Do we need to practice good listening skills? Think about passages, familiar passages of Scripture having to do with elders. And think about them in a different way with reference to listening. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Now watch this. Take heed to these people. You know what that Greek word means? I looked it up for this speech. And it means focus on them. It means pay attention to them. It means be a good listener. That's what it means. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. I, therefore, an apostle, he said, and an elder, he said, I exhort you, I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the church of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. Here's a broad sense in which elders must be good listeners. Because Galatians chapter 6 says that you and I, as Christians, not elders, I mean just Christians, we're to bear one another's burdens. You can't do that if you're not a good listener. Put them together, and what you got is that I'm to be a good example to the flock with reference to bearing burdens. I've got to be a good listener. What I would like to do today is to give 10 suggestions. I'm going to throw them up on the board. 10 suggestions that we all need to make us better listeners. I believe if we'll practice these, you'll find that we will be better elders. Let's get to the list. Want to be a great listener? Here we go. Number one, I'm going to give you 10 things. Be kind. Let this be your spirit. Let this be your disposition. Ephesians 4 and 32, be ye kind one to another. Tender heart. Is this you? Is this your personality? Are you kind? Let this permeate all of your conversations with Christians. And everybody else for that matter. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You think about the qualifications of elders, and aren't there things in there that caution about this? You know, don't be, here's 1 Timothy 3, verse 2 and 3, don't be quarrelsome, not a brawler, not a striker, Why not? Oh, man, you put somebody like that in leadership, and he's always picking a fight. You got problems. Be kind. Be gentle. This notion that sometimes circulates among preachers, that the meaner you are, the more faithful you are, is a lie from hell. It's a lie. The old book teaches us how to be kind. Now, that is not a compromise of the truth. Doesn't mean we can't be firm about the truth. We better be that, and defenders of the truth. But must we be unkind to do that? I say no. All right. Want to be a great listener? Number one, be kind. Here's number two, don't interrupt. Oh, this one is hard. You know what? Sometimes I do this, and as soon as it comes out of my mouth, I regret it. You ever do that? I say it, and then I'm talking, but in my mind I'm thinking, I wish I hadn't done that. I know better than that. Why did I? And what happens is our minds are running so fast, and maybe we're a little bit stressed, and we're kind of in a hurry, and we interrupt people. And you know, somebody said, please don't talk while I'm interrupting. You know, do you do that sometimes? Nobody likes it. You know how it makes you feel when you're talking and somebody interrupts? What it communicates is, I am more important than you are. What I say is more important than what you're saying. You need to listen to me, and I'm going to push my way into that happening. You good with that? But Matthew 7 and 12 says, whatever you would that men should do you even so to them. I'm a Christian. Let him finish. Let him finish his sentence before you express your sentiments. Don't interrupt. Here's number three. Encourage other people to speak. I don't know. It may be that women are better at this than men. I don't know. I think sometimes when women get together and one of them has a problem to talk over, I think that women are often naturally good at this. And then the way that you do it is, and it takes some practice, and you can become natural at it, but the way you do it is that you listen to what they're saying, and then you don't automatically start expressing your views. Instead, you say, how'd that make you feel? Or, yeah, I know what you mean. Or just hum. You can just hum, like, And what it is, you're communicating, I'm plugged into this, I'm empathetic, I'm sympathetic with what you're saying, and I'd like to hear more about this. So you maybe lean in a little bit. Oh, yeah. What does that mean? Tell me more. What you are is being a good listener. Encourage other people to speak. Here's number four. Mirror. I know that's just one word, and you may want to put an explanation beside it, but it's not very complicated. This one is where you repeat back key points of what has just been said to you. Now, there are a couple of benefits, of course, to that, and one is that you break down any kind of walls of worrying whether or not you're listening. I'm listening to you because I'm repeating back to you what you said, but also it has a clarification benefit because the person, you know, you say, well, so what you're saying is X, Y, Z, right? And he says, well, not exactly. No, what I really mean is PQM. Oh, you mean PQM. Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean. And what it does, it just gives him the communication that you really are plugged into this. You're really listening to him, and you want to get it right. And this is especially valuable if you're disagreeing with somebody. Do we do this? You ought to do this with your wife. You know, if you're having a little tiff, you know, maybe you don't ever do that. But if you ever do have a little tiff with your wife and you're disagreeing about something, take the time in the listening skill to repeat back the key point. So what you're saying is, I just want to make sure I get it right. And you don't say it in a mean way. Say it in a sincere way. You're saying that this, that's what I'm saying. Ah, okay, I get it. You need to mirror what the other person is saying. It'll show that you're listening. Number five, don't be argumentative. Now, you're not always going to be able to help this. You know what Romans chapter 12 and 18 says? As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You're not always going to be able to accomplish what I'm suggesting here. but let it be your goal. It's the funny thing is, I think that some of us really enjoy a good scrap, you know? And it can be that, you know, crossing swords is fun because I think I have a pretty sharp wit and I'd like to go nose to nose with anybody who wants to do it with me, right? I just really love a debate. I doubt that will be effective in any eldership. That spirit is really inconsistent with the qualifications of 1 Timothy chapter 3, which say, not quarrelsome. That's the opposite, right? Not a brawler. See, the brawler is the guy that really enjoys the scrap. I don't want to be like that. Now, am I saying that we're going to be able to avoid all the arguments? And the answer, of course, is no. You've got to be a shepherd of the church, and it means that you've got to hold what is right. And sometimes that's going to mean disagreeing with people. I see that is unavoidable. This is a personality trait that I've got to work on. Don't pursue argumentative things. The fact of the matter is, you're probably, would you agree with this? You're probably more apt to be able to persuade a man to your position if you're communicating in kindness and reasoning than you are if both of you are mad or sharp with each other. Let him speak, even if you disagree with him. Let him speak. Let him get it out. And then see if you can share ideas and negotiate this matter and reason together. If you cross over into argumentation, and sometimes you'll have to do that. Sometimes that's beyond your control, and we know that. But I want it to register with you that when the tempers are starting to rise, communication is starting to go down. Being able to really reason with each other is diminishing. All right, number 6. Remember, this isn't a competition. It's funny to me that this list of listening skills that I've put together, and I've gotten it from a number of different sources and collected what I think are the best suggestions for this lesson. It's funny how these things are applicable, not just to elders, but for all of our communication with people, all of our relationships. Can we use this? You know what this one is? In communication, in conversations, sometimes we have this propensity to top whatever the other person says. Have you ever done this? Have you ever had this happen to you? So, you know, go to the hospital and you talk to somebody and, you know, he's had foot surgery. Well, you know what? My brother had foot surgery on both of his feet. Or somebody says, my mother passed away last week. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, last year my mother and father passed away at the same time. And, you know, you say, you had the tooth pulled. Why, one time I had 4 teeth pulled at the same time. And, you know, always got to top it. Always got to do something a little bit more. I got to show. Now, it's not wrong to empathize with people. And, of course, we understand there's a value in that. If you go to the hospital, they're saying, you know, you just had an appendectomy. I can see the value in saying, I know what you're going through. I had an appendectomy myself. And then you could say, so I know this is rough. Well, I think that's valuable, you know. But that's different from saying, but I've had my appendix out 3 times. You know, you know, that's probably not good. So catch yourself. You know, something else is that, don't you hate that speech? I hate this speech because, I don't really, but this is bothersome because I've done all these things. Don't you hear this and you think, man, sometimes I do interrupt. I do, and sometimes I do this one. And so what we're trying to do is to grow together in this, and I think that elders particularly can benefit because people need to believe and know that we are good listeners. All right, number 7, avoid the distractions around you. Avoid the distractions. If you're an elder in the church, it's very common that when people want to talk to you, it's after worship or before worship. Are there distractions? Are you kidding me? I mean, I know how it is, and I know you know how it is. There are lots of things going on around us. There are people vying for our attention. There are children who need hugging, right? There are things going on, and and what I need to do. Now, there are casual conversations where you look somebody in the eye and you have this exchange and you know that it's just brief and it's on a very frivolous level of communication. Hey, how you been doing? Fine. And we've been doing a lot of that here at PTP. Oh, it's good to see you. Good to see you. See you later. And that's good. But boy, when you key in, somebody says, my mother's not doing well. Or can we talk sometime? Or anything like that keys you in that there's something going on here. What I've got to do is get rid of distractions. That person, I mean, just key in on the fact that that person needs to talk to me. And this is on the upper level. This is important. It's important to him. Right? And so I just stop and I want my world to go down and focus right here. And I need to avoid distractions. That is to say that if a child comes and pulls your leg, you say, honey, I'm talking right now, and I tell you what, you go over there and I'll come talk to you in a few minutes. Now what if you just communicated? This is important to me. So your cell phone, you know, if it beeps, pull it out without looking at it and switch it off. I'm focused on you, right? If you have too many people around that are apt to interrupt, say to that person, I tell you what, I really want to talk to you, but you and me are going to talk about this. Let's go over here and we'll get to the corner where we can really talk. I'm going to talk to you about this. And what are you saying? You're saying, I care about you and I know that you want to communicate with me and I want to communicate with you. Right? That's different from allowing distractions to repeatedly interrupt that conversation. What are you communicating then? Now, I understand, because I'm an elder, I understand why a man might be tempted to do that, because you've got to tend to other people too, and everybody is important. But I say to you that after worship, you may not have a lot of the kind of people I'm talking about. There may just be one, and other people need to talk about little things. But whatever, I think people are going to understand if you say, would you excuse us just for a minute? Just excuse us. And what you're communicating to this man who's talking to you is, I know this is important, and you are important to me. Avoid distractions. Try not to let your face be, I've done this before. You're in conversation, and some movement over here, and you turn, and your face is diverted. And what if you just communicated? You don't want to communicate that. You don't want to say to him, I'm not really thinking about what you're saying. I'm thinking about lots of things. Fact of the matter is, a man can't really do it anyway. You know, we're one-trackers, right? I'm not listening to you. I'm thinking about what's happening at that window right there. Isn't that a pretty day? Beautiful day, right? All right. Avoid distractions. Number eight, practice good eye contact. This one's huge. I don't know where this came from. I've had the privilege a few times to teach speech classes at Fried Hardeman to teenagers, to high school students at Horizon. Did it for a number of years. And I love to do that. But one of the things, the rudiments of speech, of public speaking that you teach, is of course about eye contact. And where this business came from, that if you're nervous, what you should do is focus on the clock on the wall. You know, is that going to be effective speaking? Are you kidding me? I don't know about all the chemistry involved in this or the psychological benefit, but there's a benefit to looking people in the eyes. All right? People, and in public speaking, the difference between, I mean, I don't like a pulpit even. I like, sometimes I have to use one, but typically I try to stand like I'm doing right now. And the reason is that I want to talk to people, see? I want to communicate with you. And eye contact is a really important part of that. Now, in private conversations, multiply that by 10. You reckon that there's a difference between somebody who communicates with you in a conversation, looking you in the eye, and one who, you know, keeps looking down or look over here. You know, is there a difference? The funny thing is that the man who's looking around may really be listening, but he's not communicating to that guy that he's listening. That guy doesn't know what in the world he's thinking about, right? It just looks like he's not paying attention. So what I'm suggesting in this one is a good listener focuses on the person, but he trains his eyes into that man's eyes. All right. Practice good eye contact, and you'll be communicating to that person, I'm really listening to you. I'm listening. All right, let's go to the next one, number nine. Be aware of your body language. I'm no psychologist, but I think that there's a difference in your posture and how you're standing. If you're standing kind of where your toes are pointed in a different direction from the person you're talking to, it communicates that I may want to make a getaway. I want to be ready in case I want to leave you. Right? There's a difference. If you are trying to communicate, I'm focused on you and I'm listening to you, then point your body at that person and don't slouch, because that demonstrates I'm bored. I am so bored. You may be bored, but don't communicate that. Stand up. Stand up, and then you have this eye contact, and be careful about what you do. Do you think there's a difference between the way I'm talking to you now and this? Is there a difference? The funny thing about that is, again, this man who has his arms folded, he really may be listening, but he's communicating something that is a poor listening. He doesn't mean to, but that's what he's doing. Don't fold your arms. And don't do this. So you're listening and you do this. You know what? You could do that and not even think about it, but your body language just said a lot, didn't it? What did it say? It said, I really don't have time for this. I'm uncomfortable. This is awkward for me because I'm in a hurry. I went to an elder one time. I was a young preacher. He was a businessman. And in sympathy to his position, I'm sure he was very busy. I needed to talk to him. I needed to have a few minutes of his time. And I went to his office and I sat down. I don't know what was going on in his world. It may have been a terrible time for me to come, but I wanted to talk to him. So I went to his office and I sat down and he said, I can give you 5 minutes. I probably only took two because he really didn't have time for this. Right? And you can communicate that in your body language. So just be conscious of that. Stand up straight, or you might even sometimes lean in just a little bit. But don't go too far, because you'll look real silly if you do that. But you might just lean in a little bit and get those eyes trained on that person. You're avoiding distractions, right? If something does interrupt you, you take as little time with it as possible while being kind, and you get back. And what you're doing is saying to that, you're communicating that you're important, and I care about you. And I want to know what you're saying to me. Right? Let's do one more. Oh, this one's hard. Don't argue mentally. You know what I'm talking about in this one? You know, and I tell you what, if we're in a disagreement, I don't know. This is such a challenge because I've done it this week. I had a wonderful conversation this week with a brother. And he loves me and I love him. And we really weren't arguing. We didn't see eye to eye on a point. It wasn't a heaven and hell question. It's a matter of how to handle a particular situation. And I caught myself doing this. I was constructing my argument before he finished his discussion, before he finished his paragraph. I was already designing what I was going to say. And sometimes if we of a particular personality that enjoys a good scrap, I can't wait to clean his clock. And I am so, you know what? I have just constructed that I'm going to zing you, boy. I'm going to zing you. I can't wait for a chance to let it fly. And what's the problem with that? Well, the spirit, Lewis, is part of the problem. But the rest of it is that I'm not listening to what you're saying. And how foolish is what is happening if I zing him and then he says, well, that's not what I'm saying. Oh, it wasn't? Oh, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? How awkward is that? I need to give him the consideration that I wish to have, which is, hear me out. Now, we may disagree about this, but at least understand where I am before you clean my clock, and then clean it. Okay, all right. And so practice, and this is hard, I know, because mental processes are constantly working in our hearts, but what I'm saying is practice to be sure that you listen to everything he's saying, especially if you're going to disagree with him. And of course, elders are going to have to sometimes do that. You're leaders, not followers in these regards. You're leading these people. I don't mean you're never followers, but you know what I'm talking about. You're going to lead these people. And so sometimes you're going to be disagreeing with what they say. We're going to do this in kindness. We're going to do this as much as lieth in us, in a spirit that is not argumentative. Sometimes we won't be able to avoid that, but we're going to try to avoid that. We're going to practice good body language. We're going to try to mirror what people are saying. That is to repeat back sometimes the essential elements of what they've been saying so that they will know that we're listening to them. And God help us. We're going to be the best elders and shepherds that we can be. This has to start with caring. I must ask you this question. I'm an elder. You say, I'm an elder. Why are you an elder? Always want to be one. Yeah. Got to be more. Why are you an elder? The answer is, I love the Lord's church. And I love His people. And for my life, I want to do whatever I can to help them. I want us to go to heaven. And I cannot bear for us to lose one of our members to the devil. Amen. Not one. And an essential in that equation is going to be that we practice good listening skills. Let us pray together. Holy Father, thank You for being so good to us. Thank You for the congregations for which we serve. And we know that they do not belong to us. They belong to Thee. Oh, Father, help us to be good shepherds. And help us to have listening skills that communicate to the sheep and the flock that we care about them, that we are listening to them. We want what is best for them. Help us to be good men. Help us, Father, to be good elders, but before we're good elders, help us to be good Christians and to love our Lord supremely. Please, Father, give us wisdom and forgiveness. In Jesus' name.